Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I just want to welcome you to our program today. You know, from the headlines of the news, we'll be talking in a moment about North Korea and what's taking place with the nuclear weapons they're talking about. But I first want to remind you that some of the prophetic words that were given and dreams that would have been given by the Lord and night visions was that North Korea, China, and Russia had made a covenant. This is something the Lord had revealed prophetically. And their covenant basically was against the economy of America, against the dollar. Because right now, just understanding how the economy works, every country has to turn their money, whatever it is, into dollars to buy oil. Well, right now, as we speak, a new form of doing that kind of trade has been developed by China, and Israel reportedly has just joined it. Russia is potentially joining it. And all of a sudden, we're looking like the dollar's being pressed out of the picture, which could be dramatically what some of the things that the Lord's shown us in regards to, you know, who says America has to be the lead currency? We would like it to be. But some of the things that we talked about and we're going to talk about today, that God has shown a prophetic vision of paper money just being burnt up and the economic crisis where the stock market is just suddenly in 6 minutes, you know, is falling. There's just some prophetic warnings. But to top it all off, we're going to go right to North Korea right now. I want you to see this, because another thing the Lord had told us, and we'll have a young man by the name of Isaiah that's going to be sharing a prophetic dream that God gave him about North Korea, about America, about Washington, D.C. As the Lord is speaking, and the thing about it, are we listening? He's preparing us for what's about to take place. Take a look right now at North Korea, what's taking place.
The North Koreans may have as many as 20 nuclear warheads, and that number could climb to 50 or 100 in the next 5 years. According to the Wall Street Journal, Chinese nuclear experts are also warning that North Korea's ability to produce weapons-grade uranium could double by next year.
And this assessment comes as a top U.S. official believes North Korea can now launch a missile with a nuclear warhead that could reach much of the western United States.
Admiral William Gortney, head of U.S. Northern Command, says our assessment is that they have the ability to put a nuclear weapon on a KN-08 and shoot it at the homeland. We assess that it's operational today, and so we practice to go against it. North Korea's expanding arsenal has Japan and South Korea particularly concerned. This week, the U.S. signed a new nuclear energy agreement, allowing South Korea to conduct nuclear research but not to produce its own nuclear fuel.
It is an agreement befitting of the deep partnership and strong alliance that exists between our two countries.
A top North Korean shot back at the agreement, calling America's foreign policy hostile to the region.
The anachronistic, hostile policy of the U.S. on the DPRK and its reckless confrontation mania prolonged the touch-and-go situation in the Korean Peninsula.
The revelation of the North's accelerated nuclear program has some Republican lawmakers worried about President Obama's deal with Iran that is supposed to limit its nuclear program. A 1996 agreement with North Korea was supposed to stop Pyongyang's nuclear capabilities. It didn't. Instead, now the North is building a set of nuclear weapons. The chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Ed Royce, told the Journal he fears the same could happen with Iran. We saw how North Korea was able to game this whole process. I wouldn't be surprised if Iran had its hands on the same playbook. George Thomas, CBN.
God is so merciful to us, letting us know ahead of time, you know, what's going to take place. And you think about it, we would love for things to stop. We talk about that, you know, why does God let us know? Because he says he reveals the secrets of those to those who fear him. And he says he does nothing unless he reveals what he's going to do to his prophets first. He talks about that. And the prophet is just somebody just hearing what God is saying. It's not, anyway, the people that can hear what the Lord is saying. And so we're hearing specifically, look at North Korea. When you see North Korea for what it really is, you know, it's just a rogue type nation. Its people are so depraved of nutrition that they didn't have anything fully grown into their potential or their physical bodies. Their leader is basically a gang type leader, you know, over setting himself up some sort of God figure over following his father's footsteps. and but yet they have nuclear capabilities, and that they can reach the California coast. And at the same time, we have Iran that's working on nuclear weapons, and we're going to be talking about in our next hour, you know, about how it's been revealed that it reported that our White House has known all along that they can actually break out into nuclear capabilities within 3 months, 90 days. And all this time they've been negotiating, and Senator John Kerry, the Secretary of State's been negotiating, and some of the things the Lord's showing us, as soon as this man gets into his place, Secretary John Kerry, it wasn't going to be good for Christians, and it wasn't going to be good for Jews. And look what's happening to Christians ever since he got there. The persecution, you know, of Christians and Jews that are taking place right now in society, in the world. But so what is God saying? And it's very something, there's something about North Korea that's so important in regards to America and how we're kind of tying ourselves to Russia and North Korea. And God gave a dream to a young man by the name of Isaiah. And I want you to hear this, because it's like suddenly, you know, this thing is going to shift. And what's in North Korea is going to be coming to America, it seems like. Take a look at this.
So also I know that, so based on what God's shown you about that this conqueror in the first horse,
yes,
it got our president's attention, right?
Yes.
So when this conqueror, this Kim Jong-un in the dream, which represents whatever that means, and the interpreter, mm-hmm. When you were running, you ran all the way to Washington, D.C., right?
Yes.
And tell us that part of that.
Okay, so when I ran into Washington, D.C., what basically was going on in the White House was making sure that everybody was okay and just, like, protect me, protect the president, too. So they take me to this room as Kim Jong-un, was walking in. Mm-hmm. So basically, I see the president, and he's by the window, and he's telling me to help him jump out the window.
So what was he feeling like at that moment?
He looked very scared, very fearful, very frightened.
Because this conqueror was coming towards the White House?
Yes.
And he was looking out the window, and he said, help me?
Yes.
And then what happened?
So then I help him jump out. And then I just decide to jump out with him, but he just leaves me.
Does he?
Like, leaves me.
And so we're looking at right now that this is taking place. You're looking at North Korea supposedly coming up to, for some reason it's coming, you know, it just doesn't make sense for some country like North Korea to be empowered like this. And it's almost like China is the hand and North Korea is the glove. I mean, you think about that. And you look at what China's doing right now. They're going out and pushing the Filipino people and telling them to go back to their, get away from their property. And they have their navy out now. And it's like, we have to wake up. These things are coming to pass as we speak. All these things are happening. So as America's military might is being humbled, and we're being devalued. And as George Soros said, you know, whose daughter got married, Hillary Clinton's daughter got married in his house. He says, you got to ease it down real slow. You got to ease it down. And he's made his money on, you know, the collapsing of economies, the collapsing of their currencies, reports are. And so we're looking at right now, kind of bringing all this together, that prophetically, I mean, we're on this crescendo, this moment, and it's chaotic, and that's the goal, you know, as I don't know if we had that particular segment. Hopefully we'll have it during this program. But, you know, Marshall Gantz was on Bill Moyer, and he said very specifically that you know, organizers are kind of like schizoid, that don't really have any value system. They're just constantly shifting. If everybody gets an agreement with them, they shift to something else. If everybody gets an agreement here, they shift to something else. And the whole point of that is to be able to polarize everybody, which means to cause everybody to be separated and divided, you know, divide and conquer. But once they're polarized, and you know, everybody's all upset and the chaos is in, he says, then you can shift them and depolarize. You can depolarize, and people are going like, phew, I'm glad that's over with. But what happens is it's totally fundamentally transformed whatever that organizer was working on based on the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals methodology. And right now, you're looking at these militant efforts that are being fueled, you know, from you know, China's military, you're looking at North Korea's nuclear capabilities, you're looking at Libya that is totally you know, on fire and what's taking place. And it was us, America, President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, that gave supportive air power to be able to take down Gaddafi, the leader of Libya. And now we're looking at the persecution of the Libyan people and Christians and Jews. And now in Yemen, where we're looking at, remember we talked about in Yemen, which is right south of Saudi Arabia, that Secretary of State John Kerry had them surrender the embassy there. They had them turn over, untake the bullets out of their weapons, had them, the Marines that were there, had them ride away in unmarked vehicles and basically, you know, retreat, what it looked like, and left there. Now look at Yemen. We're orchestrating, it looks specifically like, and based prophetically on what the Lord has shown me and what I have seen, you know, from those two perspectives, that they're actually orchestrating this thing. Because America is a huge nation. And I'm sure they've got to be very puzzled when these other nations thinking, what do you do with such a powerful nation is trying to fool their own people? That's how big we are. Think about a small little nation, you know, of 15, 20, 30, 40 million people looking at 300 something million people with a budget that's 400 times, you know, most, you know, gross national products. And they're wondering, like, you're using us to fool your people. Because what do you do when the elephant in the room is trying to convince its own family that it's not big anymore? And that's what's happening right now. Secretary of State John Kerry, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, and others have looks like, you know, basically on these prophecies and what we're seeing in the news, and understanding that Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama were trained up with these kind of techniques. Did you know this? That Hillary Clinton, she did her college thesis on Rules for Radicals, not on Rules for Radicals, on Saul Alinsky's tactics. Think about it. She wrote her thesis in college based on how you organize, how you do what she's doing now, what they're doing. And it's like, we've got to wake up, because it doesn't end well if we notice for Jews and for Christians and for the people who won't submit to this whole thing that's going on and renounce, you know, our God. And so we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about this, but this is some major things taking place. I want to encourage you that the best days for the church are ahead, but it's going to come with much chaos and much turmoil. And also I want to tell you, you know, brace yourself that you just don't respond quickly, that you pause, you think, you're willing to wait things out. As a matter of fact, you need to sign up today for the VFN Torch, our newsletter, the Torch newsletter. Go to VFNTV.com, and we have a free gift for you. It's called Prudent Preparation. As soon as you sign up, you'll have that, and it'll tell you how to prepare for the days ahead. We want to talk about some of the things prophetically that are happening, mm-hmm. and these are amazing days, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes.
I mean, so many things the Lord has said, you know, is happening.
There's a convergence of all these prophetic yeah. words that are happening so fast and so quick. Yeah. You need to pay attention.
Yeah, I wish they weren't.
This
I
is
wish
true.
They weren't. Well, you're watching, you know, Isaiah talk about, you know, North Korea, and, you know, God was showing at the time, and you're obviously having a young man that, you know, doesn't thinking about North Korea. He didn't even know
who
it was, you know. And, but yet you have, reportedly, our president was trained up, you know, mentored by, you know, people who feel, you know, communism is kind of a mm-hmm. concept that maybe that
a good thing maybe
pursue possibly reports are. And so but as an organizer, this is what's so important, because I see people, it's real frustrating, is they try to logically explain things. You know, and when you're talking about the way Saul Alinsky works, the way Satan works, is he works in chaos. And so if you try to explain chaos, you're just going to be in some constant debate. You don't want to argue. You don't even want to conversate with Lucifer, you know, and those who are kept, because it's not going to work. They don't care. They don't care about, you know, your viewpoint. They're just trying to push something over on you. As a matter of fact, listen to Marshall Gantz. Marshall Gantz, you know, is a community organizer, just like President Obama was, mm-hmm. or still is, I guess. And I mean, everybody's an organizer, but what is the methodology? And he was trained up by Saul Alinsky.
Right.
And this is the interview, John. This is the interview where I was introduced to the author, Saul Alinsky, because I was totally wide open. I was listening to Marshall Gantz talk, and I'm thinking, well, this is some great ideas yeah. and all this kind of stuff. And he started talking about Saul Alinsky, and I thought, wow, who is that? You know, and so, The Lord let me get the book. I got the book, and I found out the book, this book that he's quoting from, it's on the back cover of it. It has has Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who I think it was called the Chicago Tribune or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they were mentored by this guy Saul Alinsky. But then you look under the cover of the book, and it says it's dedicated. The book was dedicated. Let's give a big shout out to the first one that used these techniques and got his own kingdom, Lucifer.
Wow.
What? You know, what's going on, you know? And so, and I could tell how they delivered that book to whoever Amazon was. Yeah. They were like, do it under something, you know? It was like, I can't believe somebody's getting this book. And that was the first time I didn't know that it was like that. And that's how I discovered and began this journey, you know, called Organizers of the Night versus Organizers of the Day. And we have that whole series available for you on VFN Torch. But think about chaos. Think about somebody wanting to cause chaos. Think about schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is like you're talking to somebody and their name is Bob, and the next minute their name is Jim, and the next minute their name is, you know, Susan or something. And that would be very frustrating. But what's more frustrating if you don't understand schizophrenia and you're trying to have a logical conversation with a schizoid?
Mm.
Well, understand that's what a community organizer based on Marshall Gantz is talking about and what he learned from Saul Alinsky. As a matter of fact, take a look at this, Bill Moyer.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
I'd like to try to hear this one more time. This is so powerful because this was one of the campaign managers in the beginning of our president's, you know, mm-hmm. running for office and all. And it makes sense. If you're an organizer and you work with organizers and you're going to do something, you know, your friends are going to help
bring
you out.
Together,
it makes
sure.
sense. But if you're using tactics, you know, Lucifer tactics, you know, pouring. Anyways, listen one more time because hasn't it been schizoid? Have you been wondering what's the logic behind what's going on? When it comes to these techniques, there is no logic to that. Because the whole point is, he says, you got to be schizoid. You got to be schizoid. You're trying to get people to a point where they're willing to make a change. You got to make it so bad that finally they say, you know what? We'll take the mark.
We'll settle.
You know, we'll settle.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do what we never would have done. And think about the things we're even talking about today. We didn't even thought that would even been part of the conversation. But now people are talking like it's normal, things that are happening. Let's listen one more time because this is the theory behind what's taking place in America right now with our leadership, what's happening in the world, why Libya is the way it's going, why North Korea is doing what it's doing, why Russia is doing what it's doing, why our Secretary of State John Kerry is doing what he's doing, why they're using the Sunnis and the Shiites and Iraq. They're trying to create this chaos to be able to look like the earth feels schizoid right now. But it was strategically done. Listen one more time to Marshall Gantz on Bill Moore.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
I think we're all screwed up on that, he said. So then, you know, what is polarization? You know, in polarization, I remember when I was in college and we were studying, you know, the waves and those type of things mm-hmm. with light waves. And when you put sunglasses on, sunglasses are polarized. They're called polarized sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's polarization prevents a bent wave from coming through that lens. Therefore, it blocks the bright sun in your eyes.
Yeah.
But when you think about polarization, is you think about lines like this, and then you think about the opposite way. So you got north and south, east and west. In other words, the goal of a organizer, according to Marshall Gantz, according to Saul Alinsky, according to those who were mentored by him and that used these techniques, and according to Lucifer, according to Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book, is you have to divide everybody up. You have to bring division. There is no logic to this thing. And if people start agreeing with what you're doing, you have to switch your whole values because it's not about your values. I mean, think how the argument has switched again and again and again. And people are trying to approach this thing logically instead of spiritually, thinking, wait a minute, you know, we better repent because it looks like we're being turned over to something. And when it has to do with chaos, you know, that's Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
That is Lucifer. And so we've been following this thing, you know, all along. And so tell us about, you know, this economic situation because, you know, what I saw was, I had this vision, John, and the vision was, it was like this big vacuum was going up
up in the heavenlies or whatever, and all this paper money was being sucked off the face of the earth like a big mountain. This is being sucked into one vacuum area, so you can imagine looking like a pyramid or something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, this big mountain turned into fire, and it burned up all the paper money. You know, just it was gone. Where did that? What was that? You know, and I know that the Lord was showing you something.
Yeah.
I
had this dream vision of the night where I was going to work, and at my workplace, I saw all my colleagues were surrounding a television screen, and they were watching.
This was in the city?
This was in the city. They were watching a New York City. They were watching a news report, and the reporter was about to deliver breaking news. Mm-hmm. And I saw that he was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and there were some stockbrokers with blue jackets standing still in front of them.
So he's on the floor where all finances are traded.
Are trading and happening.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was extremely odd since my father was a stockbroker, and I've been to the, you know, Trade Center, that they were all standing still.
Right. But they don't stand still.
They don't stand still.
It's a sad thing.
Yes. Yeah. And so he says, before he's about to break news, the reporter, I'm about to share something in a few minutes, but I don't want you to panic.
Right.
As soon as he said that, because God had been speaking to us prophetically already about what he was about to share, I knew in the dream what he was about to share, so I proceeded to go to my desk and gather my things because I knew that it was just going to, you know, it's going to chaos was going to ensue.
Right.
And so on my way back to exit, he's about to deliver his report. Mm-hmm. So everyone's, you know, intently looking at this television screen, and he says, I just want you to know that within 6 minutes, the world's going to end as we know it.
So the world's not going to be over. It's just as we know it.
As we know it.
Right.
It went crazy in there. People were starting screaming, and just shouting and just, you know, panicking, really.
Financial collapse.
Financial collapse.
That's what happened in 1929 when the president comes out and says, you know, everything's going to be fine. And within 24 hours, it collapsed.
It's a sudden thing.
Right.
I mean, you can see, I remember when my dad came home in a Black Monday in the stock market, and just in one day, so much profits were lost. It was in 1987.
Right.
It could happen at any moment.
Well, you think about it, if you add up every president that we've ever had up until our current president and all the debt that they incurred, this one president that we have now has incurred more debt than all of them added up, the reports are.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of time. It's not real when you're printing money, especially if they're creating that new currency in North Korea and China. And that's why we're first going to go to break. We've got to go to break and continue talking about this. But that they've created this exchange now where you don't have to go to the World Bank necessarily to be able to convert things to the dollar anymore, which means we're going to be cut out of the loop. And any broker knows when you're cut out of the loop, you're no longer going to...
Irrelevant.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And when Weimar Republic, when this happened to them, that you could carry a wheelbarrow of money to the store to buy bread, but you still could not afford the bread. Secondly, that when you started to go work from somebody and they said they'd pay you this much money for this week's worth of work, they would say, pay me on Monday because it won't be worth what it is now on Friday. That's how quickly it was being devalued. We're talking about some prophetic realities, the news, the headlines. You know, it's not enough to know the news. You do need to know what to do with the news you know. And it's almost like there's some mindset that switches, like, you don't have to know what to do with it, just as long as you know it. And people talk about information, but they don't know what to do with the information. And it's better to know one thing and know what to do with it than to know everything and don't know what to do with anything. Hmm. And it's like people who try to memorize scripture, but they don't operate in scripture.
Right.
But I think about, you know, David Wilkerson's prophetic word that he gave before he went to go be with the Lord. He gave it for quite some time.
Yeah.
And we're this microwave generation, so we think, you know, well, that couldn't be an accurate word now because that was like 3 years ago.
Right. Right? Like, such a long time
while they're
ago.
Reading out of a book, you know, that's thousands of years. Anyway, so it is the mercies of God that gives us time to be able to repent. But one thing that the Lord had shown David Wilkerson is that all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be this this financial crisis in the world. Mm. And, you know, something's going to happen in one particular country, and it's going to be like dominoes, and it'll affect the next country, and it'll affect the next country, and affect the next country. As a matter of fact, there's Greece, right?
There's reports right now that Greece is on a tipping point once again, and they're trying to get payments back from Germany for...
They're demanding it.
Well, yeah, demanding.
They're asking
they're demanding it. Okay, you're right. For what happened during the Holocaust.
Right.
And many economists are saying that it's not a matter of
reparations.
Reparations.
Right.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because Greece can leave the euro.
Right.
Right now, Germany is the largest financial country in Europe. Yeah, they're the healthiest. They have 28 nations there.
Right.
They're the healthiest.
And they're getting their oil from Russia, I believe.
It's a domino. I mean, and the thing with this P5 plus one, these guys that are making the agreements.
P5, you're talking about five nations.
Five nations plus one nation, which is Germany, that are coming together to make this deal with Iran to potentially allow them.
Which Israel's not part of that P5.
Right, they're not a part of it. Many of these nations have deals, economic deals with Iran. It's into their interest that Iran is these sanctions are lifted. Their reports are that Germany has a 100-year history with Iran, and they're doing all kind of things economically together. And Russia now is trying to help Iran too with supplying missiles. So you watch all this, all of this unfold, but the dominoes are getting ready to fall.
I think what's something that's really important to think about is, you know, the people have, you know, some mindsets people have, and is, you know, how people, kids grow up and they just think their parents are right. And there comes a point around the 10 years or something, right? And, but you know, as, you know, nation citizens, since they grow up within a nation, especially when they don't teach history in the schools, they just start thinking it's, you know, it's always been like Mayberry, you know,
right.
It was just, you know, it never, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah never existed. Noah, there never was a flood that destroyed all mankind because they were evil. You know, Jesus wasn't crucified. Things weren't bad. And it's like, no, evil's always been present since the Garden of Eden. So the question that we ask ourselves is, it's important. Well, we need to first let ourselves know that, you know, there's, you know, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we can't look back at our, at the last 230 years of our country and say that there hasn't been sin in this country, that there's some righteousness, you know, that's been ruling in here, versus saying, you know, God, when we turn to God, you know, based on my experience and based on what you study and see, and you can even read about in the scriptures, you know, God, when you cry out to God, he just forgives and he covers you with grace. I mean, the song about America is God shed his grace on you. Since we don't really know what grace is quite often, we don't understand what that means. That's called undeserved favor. And so there's a lot of horrific things that happen in the history, you know, of America as well as any other nation. So when you see, for example, I think it was yesterday's program, we're talking about Turkey and what happened with the Armenian Christians being driven out, you know, of Turkey, being just, it was terrible what happened to them. We talked about that. It's the 100-year anniversary just last week, this week. And but that happened in America. It happened with the First Nation people. It happened with African Americans that were here. It happened to women. It happened with, they had eugenics, where they just begin to start saying, you know, we want to do away with your race or do away with people that has your IQ. I mean, there's been evil things that have happened in America. And so you start wondering, why is all this stuff surfacing? How did we function so long? It's because America cried out to God. I mean, we cry out to God. God doesn't come in there and say, okay, I'm going to just correct everything. He just pours a lavishes grace over the whole thing. And somehow, even the offender and the offended come to the cross. And they come to the cross, and he makes those two one. And so you have this peace that comes even when injustices have happened. Somehow the nation begins to work. And it's not because men are good. It's because God is good. So that then what begins to happen is you're seeing happen right now as God's going, okay, I'm going to pull my grace off that. And so you're seeing stuff surface. You cannot look back and say these things didn't happen. You can't say that, that the sins of our fathers weren't there. We can't say our own sin wasn't there. We have to say, God, I need your grace. And we got to cry out to the Lord, because what I see is a tidal wave across the world, but definitely in America, of the, our sins and the sins of our fathers coming over us unless we cry out for God's grace and God's mercy and his forgiveness. It's just what it is. And so if you try to logically look at what's going on and try to get reparations for everything, because everybody owes God reparations. I mean, we all sinned against God. There's no way we could pay him back for what he did with his son, offering his son on the cross for us. God died for us. I mean, how do you give reparations for that? And, you know, and so the thing is that we need grace. Grace will get us through things. Grace, you know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What happens is you have somebody like myself or somebody like John or somebody that's like Billy Sunday or, you know, there's just all, anybody's a believer, this is how it is. It's just like your life is undone and, you know, your sin is ever before you, and you don't think it's going to logically work out, but then you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and He pours grace on you, He forgives you. He didn't go fix everything. He just goes, listen, I'm God enough and good enough and able enough. My grace is sufficient for you. And so when we sin and we begin to reject God, we're rejecting His grace. And when He pulls His grace off of us, He pulls our grace off of, His grace off of America, He pulls His grace off Washington, D.C. and those 530, you know, five folks in D.C. He pulls His grace off the history of the First Nation people. He pulls His grace off of President Andrew Jackson and what he did with the First Nation people. He pulls His grace off of the cotton trade and what took place with the nation of cotton in the world and how America took it over on the backs of human beings because of the color of their skin and took advantage of the African Americans that were in our nation. I mean, and just keeps pulling it off and pulling it off. And it's like, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
If you try to approach this thing in a logical viewpoint and say, you know, it's just not going to work because it's the grace of God. It's at the cross of Christ where He makes the two one. And so the answer to this dilemma is not the world. It's not the court system. It's not a political answer. The answer is for the church.
Yeah.
The answer is for the church.
Because grace is given to the humble. You know, and I think about Robinson's word, who the prophetic word that came out, we have a choice between humility or humiliation.
He said, be humbled. And this is James Robinson.
James Robinson.
A big bucket of love.
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't originally, but he is now. And he gave that word, and that's, man, that was humble yourself or be humiliated. But either way, it's going to happen.
Either way, it's going to happen.
And that's what Chinese church is praying for us, to be humbled.
Wow.
Because they're thinking, if American church goes out, it's going to be a dark, dark world.
Wow. Well, think about it. We just shared on a recent program how the church in Cuba had explosive growth. And one of the things that they attribute to the explosive growth is that many of the people in Cuba are surviving on $30 a month. And they don't have the extra resources or the finances to be able to do a lot of luxuries or things that distract them from the work of the gospel and evangelizing. And it's so important that we look at ourselves and find out, listen, God, it starts with me. You know, if my people were called by His name.
Well, and that's so important because, you know, this is the point that I think about Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls, the heart of Nehemiah. And we have a whole prophetic teaching for you on that on the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, on our app, everywhere you can get it.
It's a series.
It's so important because it started with the particular chapter that where Nehemiah is saying they're going to own every part of your body. Mm. Not only are they going to own you, but they're going to own every part of your body. And because you're going to be under such bondage because of your sin. And here we are. And so how do we get there and how do we come out of there? And this series talks about it. You know, how do we rebuild the walls of the church? How do we get the heart of Nehemiah? And Nehemiah first owned his own sins. He owned the sins of his fathers. He was humble before the secular authority that was there. He wasn't arrogant and cocky towards the secular authority that was there. And he just pleaded his case, you know, after he had prayed and fasted. And the king granted him all that he requested because the hand of the Lord was upon him. Then he went to a place that was so destroyed and so devastated that he had to have a vision to be able to, I mean, it was nothing. It was just burnt stones. And he had to begin to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. You know, as Americans, we're wanting to just instant stuff. And it's like, you know, this very well might be a 100-year commitment that we got to make before God, that we would begin the journey. And I believe it's the sycamore, not the sycamore tree, but it's the one of the particular trees.
Evergreen?
The evergreen tree that Dutch Sheets is talking about. As you make a plea to heaven, you know, we've talked about that on our program, and you hear him even on the intro, that we're believing for an outpouring. But the thing about it is, are we willing to pay the price for the next generation to have this outpouring? Or are we saying, if I'm not in it, I don't want to have it.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get a break, but think about this. Do we want God to save people so bad? We want Him to reach people so bad. We don't want the people to go to hell. We want them to go be with God forever and be forgiven. Do we want it so bad that we're willing to leave our nation so they can have it? That we're willing not to be in it, be a part of it? I mean, whatever it takes. Paul said, I'd give up my own salvation. I ain't talking about that. But why do we always see ourselves in the picture? Why is the move of God always got to require you? I mean, why don't we just come together as a people, humble ourselves, cry out to God, begin to rebuild His walls and His church, doing things His way, and watch God, even if it takes 100 years for it to come to pass, and make this plea to heaven. Thank God our forefathers, you know, in the church, cried out to God, and He put a mercy on America and grace on America. Once again, you know, that God would shed His grace on this country, but it starts with us and understanding that, you know, when Nehemiah put people out to be able to begin to build the walls of Jerusalem, everybody had to take the section of wall that was in front of their house. So you think about it, you know, that all of the Old Testament was written to teach us the things of God. He talks about that in the book of Romans, the letter to Romans, Church of Rome. And we can learn, we can actually learn from the Word of God about how God responded in regards to Nehemiah, and understand that, you know, Israel, God's people, were in a place of bondage. They were up under, you know, tyrannical type leadership, but God was going to free them. God was going to set them free. But it took somebody willing to stand up with the heart of Nehemiah to hear from God, to be broken about the state. Because you start looking around and going, like, this is not where we're supposed to be.
Right.
This is not right. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not. I think about Gideon. You know, Gideon's going, what happened to this God of my forefathers that they talked about? Here I am eking out a living in the wine press. You know, and I don't want to hear it anymore. And all of a sudden, that's when God shows up and said, this is perfect. You're actually longing for, you know, the God of who He is, you know, God is. And God showed up and said, listen, mighty man of valor, and begin a whole deliverance process in the context of that. But you look at Nehemiah, we've got to begin to think about rebuilding the walls of the church. And versus, we're not talking about stucco walls, brick walls, wooden walls. But, you know, who are we? What has God called us to do as the church? And we've turned into a lot of different things. And it can't be that complicated, because it just threw the Pharisees for a loop when they found out the simple fishermen could actually know God. And they had to memorize the Torah to be able to be Pharisees. Mm-hmm. They had to, you know it inside and out, but they couldn't even recognize God when He showed up. And they were confused because simple fishermen didn't have all their knowledge and all their tools, didn't have their buildings, didn't have all the stuff.
That's a clue. That's a clue.
Yeah. So it is possible. I mean, it is possible that we can say, if what we're doing is not working, if we keep doing what we're doing, expecting different results, that's like insane. That's like the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. And right now, it looks like this whole storm is brewing, you know, for America. And our leadership is just like charging full speed ahead. You know, if that is his assignment, he's doing
it
very, very well.
Yeah, he is.
And I really believe that, you know, God gives us leaders that we deserve. And that, you know, you think about King Josiah and how he had a heart after God. And when he found out, you know, what God wanted, he did it. And God was so impressed by what he did, he shifted his entire plans to be able to bring disaster upon Israel. Well, but he said this, he says, after you, you know, then I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And his son got into power after Josiah died, and Egypt named his son, changed his name. They changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, his name means God set man. Now, either Romans 13, 1 through 3, is 1 through 5 is correct or not. You know, all authority is established by God. They're his servants to do his thing. Think about this. Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of Babylon, was God's servant. Remember when he thought he was doing something pretty cool, he thought, and he actually, you know, needed a manicure and a pedicure and a haircut because he went in the wilderness and all that kind of stuff. He lost it. He lost his mind because he thought he actually had done it. God was teaching him a lesson. But he says, I'm going to put you under my servant, servant Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here we are at this point. I really believe things are set in place, you know, prophetically, and I think we got the leadership that we deserved. But if we cry out for mercy, we cry out for grace, and pray for those in leadership over us. I mean, think about this. No matter what you think of the 530 leaders that you or somebody chose to send there, a Pharaoh was a man totally against God. He thought he was God. But guess what? God touched his heart and just directed it like a water course. I mean, you think about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah goes to the king. I mean, God directed that king's heart like a water course. Mm. His word specifically says he directs the king's heart like a water course. And if we're not praying for our leaders, understanding that God can change their heart
when
we change our heart.
That's right.
You know, to be able to start praying for them. We've been praying, I guess, for quite some time, for many years.
Over 5 years.
For over 5 years now for our leadership and also specifically for our president and for Michelle Obama, the First Lady, and for Sasha and Malia. And praying protection over them, praying that they would hear from God, that they would lead the country in the way that God would want them him to lead it, and that all ungodly counsel would be broken off, and that God can speak to him in his sleep, in his dreams, and just trusting God, because it says if you want a peaceful life, and right now, there must not be a lot of prayers going up because it's not peaceful.
No,
in very few places. That if you want to have a peaceful life, you need to pray for those in authority over you, all authority over you. Even Paul was writing to Timothy about that. And the authority back then, you think authority is bad now.
Listen, they had to pray for Nero.
Yes.
I mean, Nero was torturing the church, burning them alive, burning them in his garden.
Right.
So that he could have light at night. I mean.
Yeah. He would tie them on a post, put them up, and set them on fire. But, it's just, if people that are held captive by the evil one, they're going to do all kinds of things, And the thing about it is, that's not God's plan. That's not what God wants for the human race. It's not what he wants for us in America. It's not what he wants for all the nations. But we have to choose to make him the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You think about that. It's just blessed if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our nation. Just dedicate our nation back again to Jesus Christ. A truly Christian nation. We're being accused of being a Christian nation. we need to live up to the accusation here.
Yeah.
and ask for God's grace to be poured out again. Instead of trying to figure out how everything's going to work in your intellect, we need to go to the cross and begin to cry out for God's mercy and God's grace. And let me tell you, it's amazing, because when God moves and he forgives and he pours out his mercy, he's good, he's merciful, and he's abounding in grace. When he pours that out, everything just works out. Everything just works out. There's no way that we can pay God back for what he did through his son. We just got to accept it by faith and by grace. I just want to lead you in prayer right now. Maybe you've been really, hearing this, and you've been really nervous about it, and you've been concerned, and you're wondering, what are you going to do? And I just want to tell you right now that you'd cry out for the Lord. Say, Lord, I want your grace in my life. I want to be a person of grace. I want to know you, and I want to share your grace. And let's just pray right now. Father God, Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch each of our listeners and our viewers even now, Father God, with a special touch of grace, Father God, that we would once again know about your amazing grace, that you would shed that grace on this country, Lord God, and that you would just stop this chaos and this disaster and these that are trying to organize the world with Lucifer's tactics. Dear God, we ask, we see it, Lord, we know it's because you said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then you would just fix it. Lord, we ask you to fix it. We have sinned before you, Lord. Forgive us, God. We ask you for this. Heal our land, we ask, in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.